You're listening to the Dungeons, Dragons, and Psychology Podcast.
Ah, the Bard. Those captivating storytellers, the masters of music and inspiration, they hold a special place in the D&D universe. And guess what? Their core skills translate beautifully into real-life tools for connection, creativity, and personal growth in your real life. I'm Robert Walker, author of Session Zero, the DMG to writing great campaigns in any system, and this is my show where I teach collaborative storytellers how to have more immersive campaigns using psychology. And today, fellow adventurers, we are going to be not wielding swords or slinging spells. We're going to be picking up a metaphorical or perhaps literal lute and unleashing our inner voice. That's right. Today's episode is all about leveling up as a bard in the real world. So grab your parchment, grab your character sheets. You can download them on the show notes of this episode, as well as all the previous episodes of this series, the character sheet that I created for this process, because we are about to embark on a bardic journey. Now, with each of these episodes, we're not just going to be talking about leveling up as the class. Yes, that's part of it. But I also want each episode to feature a piece of information that will be useful to everyone who listens to it, whether or not this is their chosen class to level up in or not. If they have no aspirations of a fighter like we did in our previous episode, or a bard like we're working on today, there's still pieces of information that are useful. Last time we talked about the three-book rule for skill mastery. Today I want to talk first a little bit about the development of skills, new skills. And this advice comes from the late cognitive psychologist K. Anders Ericsson, who was the author of The Making of an Expert. And here's what you need to know about that. First, you need to find some sort of a guide. This is where you're going to find explicit directions on whatever skill or ability you're attempting to acquire. You need a source that breaks down the steps. So this can be a book, it could be an online guide, it could be an actual person who you're paying for instruction, it could be a YouTube channel that you're watching and following along the steps of, like I do for so many things these days, I think many of us do. But find someone who already knows the skill so that you have a template and a method to learn from. Next, you want a distraction-free environment to learn a new skill. Research does show that it's easier to set up a context where distractions won't happen, and you can resist distractions when they do happen. So find a place and time for focusing. Put your phone on mute or put it in another room would be a great example of keeping you free from distractions. Next, you need to build endurance. So this begins by practicing multiple days a week, starting out with a very small amount of time. A few minutes of focused practice is all you really need. And then as you go, you're going to add more time to the time that you're spending practicing. A good rule of thumb is beginners should usually only spend 15 to 30 minutes practicing a new skill because it is tiring. It's mentally exhausting. But as you improve, as you build that mental fortitude, mental endurance, your practice time can increase. Even experts generally don't practice more than a few hours a day because it's just exhausting. Next, you want to be deliberate in practicing of a new skill. You want to be intentional and mindful. Start with a basic part of the skill, like if you were practicing tennis, for example, it would be learning your swing. You want to practice that consciously and pay very close attention to it. And with time, as you improve, your practice time will increase, and also the difficulty of the skill or what you're focusing on will grow as well. You won't just focus on your swing, you know, the forehand swing. You might focus on the backhand now or the overhand serve. You'll add more tools to your toolbox, but begin with the most basic and build off of that. Next, find motivation. You have to look within yourself, but sometimes it's also helpful to find something else that motivates you. A lot of people think intrinsic motivation is good and extrinsic motivation is bad, but that's generally not true. If you find something you love to do, great, that's awesome. But nobody is intrinsically motivated for everything. And even if you are, for example, like wanting to work out, it's really easy to be intrinsically motivated at the start. But then when you have a difficult day or something comes up, it's really easy to lose intrinsic motivation, or just when it becomes boring and habitual, once you lose that intrinsic motivation, if you know, there's the old saying, if you only work out on the days you felt motivated, you'd quit working out very quickly. So extrinsic motivation can help with many things that you need or want to do. It's okay to do something because you want to obtain a goal or something of value. If you want to learn a new skill to get better at your job, that kind of motivation is fine as long as you feel like you're in charge and it is your choice. Where extrinsic motivation becomes bad is when it's coercive or manipulative. So just make sure if you're setting up some extrinsic motivations, they're your own decision and they're going to help you stick with the routine that you're establishing for yourself. Next, you want to get feedback. You're going to benefit from other perspectives, a coach or a partner. This can enhance your learning, and outside assessment, even if it's not from an expert, can give you insight on your progress. So feedback on more than just your performance is important. It needs to feed forward. A coach or a person should ask you questions like, you know, given what you've done, what's the next step? What's the next goal? What is the next level that you want to get to? And how will you go about getting there? So you can do this through technology. Like if you're learning to write code, for example, a computer can give you feedback. You could use tracking apps. For example, if you're doing fitness, even if you're learning skills like singing or playing an instrument, you can use apps that will assess your voice. They will assess the notes that you're playing and make sure that they're being played properly. So even if you don't have an individual, you can still get feedback from tools that have been established to help you on this path. This leads into getting the right kind of feedback. Make sure that the assessments that you're getting of your progress make you feel like, one, that you're in control and you're making good choices on your practice. You have sufficient competence. You need to hear that you can do it, that you're getting there, that you're getting better. You need that, you know, motivation push from the outside that's telling you to keep working on something and keep doing it. And so a person that cares about your performance, you need to know that somebody is there and wants you to do well. That is something that is really nice. So even if you don't have somebody in your day-to-day life, getting into an online community like a Facebook group or an online forum of people who are working on this skill and giving each other advice and ideas, that could be an additional way to get feedback and push you along the path of motivation. And finally, be your own coach. Notice your own improvements and think about them. Like, write them down. What do you remember? What are you trying to internalize? How is your confidence in the skill? Becoming your own coach is a way to make yourself better. Most people benefit from doing things like recording their own practice sessions and seeing where they stumble or seeing where they can make improvements. And that can make your practice and your skill much better. So let's move on to the bard specifically. Weaving words and song. Bards are the bridges between people. They use the magic of words, music, and arts to connect, inspire, and foster understanding. In the real world, we cultivate two key abilities that will mirror this essence. That is going to be charisma and dexterity. Charisma representing your ability to connect and inspire others. Imagine this as your personal magnetism, your ability to draw people in and make them want to listen or observe. And dexterity signifying your artistic dexterity, your physical nimbleness, and your ability to express yourself creatively. So let's translate these abilities into actionable steps for leveling up your bardic self. For charisma, communication skills. You could decide to master the art of clear and honest communication, practice active listening, articulate your thoughts concisely, or hone public speaking skills. You could work on empathy and emotional intelligence by understanding others' emotions, building relationships, developing your own emotional intelligence by actively listening and showing compassion and recognizing your own emotions. Bards are masters of narratives, so you could work on storytelling, practicing the art of both written and verbal storytelling. Your path down the bardic journey could be writing a book. It could be learning to tell a story in person. It could also be picking up an instrument. Now, an instrument is one I would say sort of blends charisma and dexterity, because you need the sort of nimbleness that is required to play the keys of an instrument and the charisma of the performance. So it's sort of the blending of the two. But I'm not saying you need to learn an instrument. It is definitely one of the ways in which you could level up as a bard, and I think it's a fun one to do. You could also do it with song. You could do it with storytelling. You could do it with motivational speaking. You can do it with just connecting with people. Any sort of these charisma, dexterity blends, or focusing heavily on charisma and people, that's going to be your way of leveling up as bard. So decide what skills it is that you want to learn, put them on your character sheet, and then we'll work on building a path to follow that. Now, for dexterity, you have artistic expression, so a creative outlet that might resonate with you. It could be music, like I said, dance, writing, painting, acting, anything that is going to use the nimbleness of your body in some way in order to create an artistic expression is going to be the dexterity use of the bard. There's also that physical dexterity. You can be nimble and adaptable. Activities like yoga, dance, again, the playing the keyboard or the fingerboard on the fretboard on a guitar, all those are physical dexterity. You're using your body to be nimble and adaptable. And then stepping outside your comfort zone is going to be helpful for this. You might, if you want to learn to dance, you might need to take a class or go to a painting class or something. These things might require you to step out of your comfort zone, but that's very important. Bards are very comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that's one key thing you should probably take away from this is if you want to level up as a bard, you need to get comfortable being like the center of attention, or at least feeling confident, appearing confident, even in situations where others might not look or feel that same way. So if you're a bit antisocial, leveling up as a bard could be very beneficial for you. It might be very frightening for you, but embracing that fear and developing a skill that might push you into that zone of discomfort for a little bit could be a very powerful change in your life. So don't dismiss bard just because you might be antisocial or you don't want people to look at you or judge you for your performance. That might be exactly what you need. And in order to do this, you need to develop that bard mindset. And the bard mindset is going to encompass curiosity. They're lifelong learners. Maintain an open mind, explore new ideas, embrace curiosity as a driving force in your practice. They are passionate. Infuse your actions and pursuits with passion. When you're passionate, you radiate inspiration and motivation, and it fills others with inspiration. And that is sort of the role of the bard in the party. They inspire. Life throws curveballs. So a bard will embrace adaptability and creativity to navigate challenges and find new opportunities. And very often, they inspire hope. They are optimistic. They maintain a positive outlook. They're often sort of the goofy ones or the funny ones in the party. They have those moments of comic relief because they like to uplift those around them. How do you go about developing this bardic mindset? Well, a good way to get into that would be using the 3-book rule that we talked about in our last episode. I mentioned I wanted to talk about that for every episode and give you an idea of a few books, a few things that you could read that might help you beginning your path as leveling up in a class. And so a few that I've thought about for the bard on the 3-book rule would be the first one, Carmen Gallo's The Storyteller's Secret. This book delves into the science of storytelling, how to craft narratives that resonate with your audience. Bards are masters of weaving tales, and this book could help equip you with the tools to capture attention, connect emotionally, and leave lasting impressions. The next one would be Austin Kleon's Steal Like an Artist. Now, this might sound a little counterintuitive, but the book encourages creative individuals to steal, meaning borrow and adapt, from the work of others to find and build their own unique voice or their own unique style. Bards are inspired by the world around them, and this book can help you sort of navigate the landscape of creative influence without succumbing to limitation. It could empower you to find your own artistic spark and transform inspiration into expression. And the last one would be Gerald Klinkenstein's The Musician's Way. Now, this book isn't strictly about learning notes on a page, but it delves into the psychology of being a musician, helping you develop practice habits, mental focus, and emotional resilience needed to master an instrument. As a bard, your artistic journey is just as important as the technical skills, and this book would help equip you with the tools to navigate the challenges and frustrations that could come from learning any creative pursuit, not just music. It could help you find the joy in the process and develop a sustainable practice routine that will keep you motivated. We talked about that already. Very important to do. So it would be a great companion to a more traditional method book that would teach you notes and techniques. This would help teach you more of the mindset. So just as you have filled out your character sheet, you've decided on what skills you're going to acquire, what abilities you're going to learn for your leveling up process as bard, you need to, again, break that down into your smaller goals, the points at which you're going to increase your stat modifier, your stats, and build your modifiers, just like we were talking about in previous episodes. You're going to do that all here. We're going to talk a little bit now about a 3-month plan of how that might look. So the first month will, of course, be building your foundation. This month will focus on exploring different creative avenues and developing your communication skills and a positive and confident presence. So you want to set up like twice a week to try a variety of activities like singing or writing or drawing, dance, improv, figuring out an artistic passion. If you've already figured that out, that's great. If you already know what skill it is you want to develop, then that's perfect. Use this time to, if you, for example, wanted to work on your communication skills, use that 2 times a week to join like a public speaking group or to just practice clear communication, record the sound of your voice, giving speeches or talking, recording a podcast, for example, might be a great way to do that. Reading resources and doing some active listening to enhance your emotional intelligence and strengthen your ability to connect with others. If you're doing more of an artistic performance style route, use this 2 times a week to develop your stage presence. So practice some relaxation techniques to manage performance anxiety. Again, recording yourself performing and analyzing your body language and your sound can help you project confidence and build your charisma. So you're going to be doing one of those things twice a week. You're going to either explore what it is that you want in a skill. You're going to be working on what those skills are twice a week. And twice a week, I would like you to also practice the skill that you have decided upon. Again, if you haven't decided on it yet, that's fine. Practice whatever skill it is you're choosing for that week as sort of an experiment to see what it is that you're going to like most. But again, like we talked about earlier in the episode, start with very small amounts of practice. This doesn't need to be a lot of time early on. 10 to 15 minutes twice a week. Not really that big of a commitment. I mean, you definitely probably, like me, spend that much time scrolling through your phone throughout every day, just not getting anything accomplished. Just set aside a 15-minute block of time 2 times a week to practice the skill for that first month. That's it. 15 minutes twice a week. Not a big deal. Month 2, we'll work on refining your craft. By this point, you should have decided on what specific skills it is that you're using to level up. And honing that artistic skill or exploring those storytelling techniques, writing a book, if perhaps that is what you wanted to work on, at this time you're going to move your creative focus, the thing that you're working on, to 3 times a week. Choose your outlet, dedicate a little bit more time to practicing and refining your skills, maybe 20 to 30 minutes at this point, 3 times a week. You could be at this time taking online courses or working with a mentor who might be able to help you enhancing your technical skills and your artistic expression. And then also, once a week, I would like you to spend a few minutes building your tribe or gathering your party. And this, I would mean attending a workshop or joining an online community related to your field. Network with other people who are working on this and collaborate. You know, find things that they can encourage you to work on and support them in their efforts. It makes a really big difference when you feel like people have your back and you also have other people's back. And then in month 3, you're going to work on unleashing your inner bard. Now, this month is going to be about sharing your creativity with the world for the first time, building that confident stage presence or sharing what you've been working on. This means showcasing your work a little bit, maybe once a week. You could do this by participating in an open mic night or a talent show, or you don't need to go that big. Just have a friend at home and maybe play them the first song that you learned on the guitar, or go to a karaoke night and perform the song that you've been practicing. Just do something that showcases the work that you've been putting into this. Now, you might get some feedback, some constructive criticism that says, hey, here's something that you can work on. Or you might not. You might get just kudos and say, holy cow, I didn't know you were doing that. And you can say, yeah, I've been working on building this skill. Either way, take that information and let it enhance your skill. Build confidence. If somebody tells you that you're doing good, that can spark some intrinsic motivation. It can also inspire others, which is the whole point of the bard, right? So once you inspire someone else by saying, oh yes, I just decided to pick up the skill. I've been trying to level up as a bard. So I decided to, you know, learn how to sing or learn how to play an instrument, or I decided to start drawing and this is the progression of my work over the last 3 months. Guaranteed, if you can show somebody the progression of work from month 1 to month 3, they will see an improvement, even if you have not. It is very easy in a 3-month period of time, if you're dedicating, you know, 15 minutes twice a week, and then eventually 30 minutes twice a week, you will have made significant improvements. You may not be an expert or a master. You'll probably be very, very far from it. But just knowing that you're making improvements and having someone else acknowledge the improvements that can be seen can be really motivating, and it can really push you to continue. When you do get feedback, constructive criticism from trusted friends or mentors or online communities, use that to improve your craft and don't let it get you down. Feedback can be one of those things that can be a little bit depressing. Like somebody might say, oh, you know, you don't hit those notes very well, or you're not very good on the high notes. That's okay. You can use a piece of feedback like that to realize, okay, I need to focus on songs that might be in a lower key, or I need to work on developing my higher range if you were working on singing, for example. Feedback has a tendency to be taken negatively, even though it's one of those things that can really be used to enhance our skill the most. If you embrace and accept what is being said as a method to heighten your craft. Now, some people aren't offering feedback. Occasionally it happens that somebody just wants to be a jerk and they'll just say something rude. That's not helpful. You've got to let that stuff go. Like if someone just says, oh yeah, man, you suck. There are people like that out in the world. And I guarantee in the world of D&D story bards have had to face their share of hecklers. I mean, it's definitely a thing. Most performers at some point have to deal with hecklers. You just got to let that stuff go, you know? That's not feedback. That's just somebody expressing their own disgruntlement with life on your craft. And that stuff you just need to let go. But like all things we've talked about on this process so far, remember to celebrate your milestones. acknowledge that progress that you've made, big or small, celebrate your achievements, reward yourself with your dedication. And when you hit those milestones on your character sheet, remember to increase your stats, increase your level, and have that piece of paper that says, hey, look, I have leveled up as a bard. That's it for today, Cyclothids. As always, you can find me on Instagram at Dungeons_Dragons_Psychology. You can also find me on the web at www.dungeonsdragonspsychology.com. Feel free to get in touch with me. Tell me about your journey. If you have any questions or you're looking for more ideas, reach out. I'm happy to talk to people who reach out. I love it, actually, hearing your ideas and your concepts. That actually drove some of this concept was from people talking to me about things they'd like to see. And I think it has been a lot of fun, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. As we get into some of the later episodes, I'll share with you a few of the things that I have been doing to level up. And I've actually picked a couple of classes that I've already been making some pretty significant progress with. And so I'll share that with you as we go along. But just thank you so much for joining me on this bardic adventure. Until next time, keep exploring your creativity, keep connecting with others and weaving your own magic. And as always, Cyclothids, I will see you next session.